This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jerry Edgerton. He's the president of the Federal Group at Blue Ridge Networks. We're going to talk a little bit about security, maybe a little about the cloud and maybe mobile security and some new innovations that Blue Ridge has in this area. Jerry, how are you this morning? Pretty good?
Good morning, John. It's nice to be with you on this hot morning here
in
D.C.
Yeah, triple-digit heat here in the middle of the summer in Washington, D.C. And I think there's even more heat in the area of federal security than the actual heat in the thermometer. But there's all kinds of heat in that area. And I wanted to bring this topic up because it just seems appropriate given the advances in cloud computing and mobile devices and the situation many of my listeners are put in, where some bozo like me walks into the room and says, hey, I want to use my iPad, your network. Well, what do you do? What is a reasonable approach to someone like me walking into Jerry's network or, more appropriately, one of my listeners' network? But before we begin, many of my listeners kind of scratch their head going, Jerry Edgerton, how did he wind up at Blue Ridge? And give us a little bit about your background, please, Jerry.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I'm one of the few people that have been around town a long time, okay? And like everybody, every other politician, but I'm not a politician, comes to town and they seem to never leave. So I showed up here many years ago, worked for the government for about 10 years.
So you're a persistent threat.
I'm past the advanced stage, okay? And so after working with the government, ventured into the private sector and got started in the early days of packet and data communications. So I'm an old X25 guy. Most people remember that. Some people remember that. Some people remember dial-up.
Yeah. So, you know, I learned with packets as well. And when I'm at the Costco and they put those little things in the tubes and they send them around, I go, well, that's a packet. Well, and I think about packet transmission.
I wasn't going to go this way, but I started early at the Postal Service, and we had packets that were 40 feet long. We drove them up and down the street.
That's a big packet.
That's a big packet. But they were slow then. They were 55 miles an hour.
Yeah, a little bit slower than the networks are today. So you've got a wide background everywhere from the federal government. I think you worked at MCI for a while and all its permutations. And now you're with Blue Ridge Networks. Blue Ridge Networks has been around for about 15 years, based in Chantilly. They have federal clients and commercial clients. Give us some, maybe a nutshell background on Blue Ridge, please.
Well, after spending a predominant part of my career in large organizations, I ventured into the world of small organizations. And so I was working with Blue Ridge in an advisory capacity and became intrigued with their technology and the opportunity in the marketplace around cybersecurity. So I've joined Blue Ridge to basically help them move from their previous experiences, primarily in the intelligence space, to a much broader offering relative to bringing some of the technology that's been developed over the last 15 years to the needs in the marketplace around cybersecurity.
And that whole concept of security, I mean, you can slice and dice it so many different ways. We had John Bordwine on from Symantec. We talked about mobile security 2 weeks ago. In a couple weeks, we're going to have Dr. Terry Gudaitis from Cyvalence talk about another flavor of security. And it just is all kinds of different ways to slice and dice it. If you go to your website, which for the listeners is blueridgenetworks.com, you can get white papers, you can get slide presentations, and you can see the whole list of different types of security credentials that your organization has. I mean, in the commercial world, some of these are important. In the federal world, some aren't. But look at this. You work with PCI, FIPS, Common Criteria, the DOD, HIPAA compliance. This is a pretty wide range of security knowledge that you have. I mean, just knowing about medical security with HIPAA, that's just a whole world in of itself.
Yeah. Well, if you've been in business for the 15 years and you've done business in the government space, the legacy of the whole security world has had been to become compliant through meeting certain standards. And that had been a laborious process, a tedious process for most people trying to take some of their hardware through this process. And in turn, what's happened is the technology and the virtualization and the advancement of the networks has moved so fast that I think the standards process has been superseded by the technology and the capability that exists. So I'm not sure that if you're compliant with standards that you are secure these days. And I think that's the issue.
That's a good observation, but it's a pretty good starting point, I think, at least from what I have learned and studied over the years. In my world, in the commercial world, when I look at network security and the whole idea of the cloud, I think of maybe kind of an east-west thing where some people are on the protect the network side of the road and other people are on the protect the endpoint side of the road. Maybe in the federal world, it goes in a different axis. It's from authentication versus maybe endpoint or session protection. Is this a good grid for understanding security, or how is security viewed at from Blue Ridge Network's perspective?
Well, if you look at the common things that are happening today in terms of threats, if you look, it's basically exfiltration generally of some form of data. If you look at the most the releases last week, when the DoD announced its program relative to cybersecurity and cyber defense, the items that were cited there were the exfiltration of important documents. If you look at the most recent breaches, the exfiltration of emails and passwords and so forth by some of the other government vendors and so forth. So generally, the exfiltration comes about through the placement of some kind of malware that that takes over and can go in and do things inside the system. So generally the malware is placed at some point at an endpoint in the system. And so this is all about how do you protect from that malware getting into the system so the exfiltration cannot take place. The traditional approach has been, let's find some malware. If we can find it, let's detect it. If we can find it, then let's do something to eliminate it as part of the whole process. And so the problem with this particular approach is you don't know what you don't know.
And reading between the lines here, it looks like there is a list, whether it's a white list or a black list, that is assembled saying, okay, here are the potential threats. Threat is ABC threat coming from Estonia. Let's protect ourselves from this, where the actual threat is from some guy sitting in Spain that comes in from nowhere and unexpected. So I think this is one of the weaknesses with a network-centric and a whitelist or blacklist approach. Is that right?
That's correct. One of the things now that's sort of essential as we get into how do you really become secure is I sort of liken it to the budget discussions that are underway. We're seeking a compromise somewhere, and somewhere a compromise between convenience and absolute security. And so one of the approaches that we're offering into the marketplace is basically adding an additional layer in which we basically do not attempt to put everything into the anti-malware by preventing the malware from executing, but basically eliminating the malware from basically finding its way into an endpoint. So that's sort of the unique difference that we bring. And we believe that that represents something of a compromise in which, you know, if we're going to be secure, we're going to have to be more diligent about how we structure and how we basically implement cybersecurity policy.
The traditional approach to security has got a real kind of a humorous way to be described. It's called being hard on the outside and soft and gooey on the inside. The approach between a firewall and eliminating inbound vectors and monitoring direction and having intrusion detection systems. And you would think that combined with encryption would protect a typical installation. These are just obviously large concepts here. But we see people being compromised through social networking, through a lot of different sites, where a lot of the standard traditional network prevention doesn't seem to work anymore, does it?
That's correct. And that has to do to some degree with the laxity aspects of the actual use of social networking and the ability to be willing to share access to intimate data in various forms. So if we're going to prevent and basically create a secure environment, we're going to have to be more disciplined about how we approach it. And then one of the thoughts is that a way to enforce that discipline is with the system's capability to do that, as opposed to depending on the classic word of password protection and then enhanced password protection and so forth, where we'll enforce it by some other mechanisms.
There's a group up the road here called the SANS, S-A-N-S Institute, run by a guy named Alan Paler. And they had a meeting in Europe, and they come up with something. It's not a whitelist, not a blacklist. It's a smart list. And when I think of all these lists, I think of administrative costs. I mean, it's just it's expensive to maintain lists like that. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, you'd talk to people like Dr. Peter Tippett and ask about virus research. He'd give it a list of number of viruses that are out there that are well known. Well, now companies like Sophos are running into 95,000 pieces of malicious code a day. And so what are you going to do, get out your little spreadsheet and start writing down 95,000 a day? I mean, the concept of listing and relying on network security for these lists, it's chasing your tail, I think.
Well, it goes beyond just the listing, and it gets to, okay, if you're going to now attempt to scan and search, then you're putting additional requirements on the hardware and the capabilities that are out there. So as we start looking at this particular approach, then how do we stop these persistent threats that are shown in form of malware from actually entering into the system and becoming a threat?
Great. When we get back, we'll talk more about APTs, Advanced Persistent Threats, and some of the solutions that Blue Ridge Networks can provide for our federal listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jerry Edgerton, who's the president of the federal group at Blue Ridge Networks.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that can save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
911. Here's Gus Hunt, Chief Technology Officer, CIA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Emerging Technologies, sponsored by Riverbed Technology.
It's an environment that has radically shifted how we deliver capabilities from as a reactive world to a proactive world, where we can truly be agile, responsive, and actually, as a government, deliver what has emerged in the outside world as what we call frictionless IT.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
How would you like to increase the productivity of your mobile and teleworkers? Now you can through Riverbed. Their WAN optimization solutions empower mobile workers with high-performance access to email, files, and applications and keep them collaborating in real time. Challenges and delays in working remotely suddenly disappear, and you're complying with telework and COOP mandates. Free your mobile workers to work anywhere with Riverbed. Learn more at riverbed.com. That's R-I-V-E-R-B-E-D.com. Riverbed. Think fast.
Tai Chi fighting depression. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfus with HHS HealthBeat. A westernized form of Tai Chi may help older people being treated for depression. At UCLA, Helen Levretsky saw this in a study involving 73 people ages 60 or older who had only partial benefit from drug treatment. Half took part in the Tai Chi-style physical activity, which is based on an ancient Chinese martial art, for 2 hours a week over 10 weeks. Compared to a control group, most had some improvement, and two-thirds achieved remission. So Dr. Lavretsky advises,
add simple interventions like Tai Chi or any kind of exercise that are more activating physically and mentally.
The study in the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthSpeed is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreifuss.
How can you reduce your agency's IT budget and support the mission even more effectively? Here's a simple strategy. Cut one of your biggest IT expenditures in half. NetApp storage is flexible and easy to manage. It also requires far less hardware, at least 50% less for virtualized environments. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like Swish Data Corporation. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for August is Vehicles for Change, a nonprofit organization repairing and providing donated cars to low-income families. A car is the most valuable poverty-fighting tool that can be provided to a low-income family, and Vehicles for Change has awarded over 3,500 cars since 1999. The car increases the opportunity for better employment and family activities never before possible. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. This message is brought to you by Papa John's and Federal News Radio.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio live, Jerry Edgerton, president of the Federal Group for Blue Ridge Networks. We spent the first block here, the first 10-15 minutes, just talking about the problem of security in this fast-changing world. I mean, my listeners are getting tossed into the cloud. People are walking with mobile devices. There's new attack vectors. People are scraping information from Facebook sites. People are actually putting their security clearances on Facebook these days, Jerry. And this is just a treasure trove for the bad guys out there to come up with spear phishing. And how do you prevent that? Give us some ideas in the past how this has been addressed, and what is the value proposition for Blue Ridge Networks?
I'm always fascinated by the fact that in the security world that some people have put their pictures on Facebook, and then and then they have to appear to be somebody else when they may show up in another country or something. So.
It's amazing what happens on Facebook. So network security, endpoint security, authentication, encryption. Give us some options and some solutions from.
Let's look at the evolution of security, and we go back to simple days of password, and then we basically put in things like random number generators to assure that your password to remind you to change your password, and then the random number generators such as Secure ID, which. Were an additional part of the process. We now are seeing it in the web access, some challenges out there in banking apps and more high-value applications and so forth. And then the government took the approach of let's use an authentication process, and this authentication process will be based on some kind of standard identification. And if we can authenticate you electronically, then maybe a secure session will occur. But that still has not solved the problem of then how do you maintain endpoint security. So some of the authentication processes have been hacked. I'm loving the word hacked now because it has such broader meaning as a result of now telephone hacking, okay, in the past week or so. But the authentication process, which carry some of your physical attributes and basically allows you to access certain applications has been another method. As some agencies require dual authentication in addition to a password and some kind of capability. So it's an ever-evolving process which now layers different types of capabilities to try to make sure that the proper person is connected to the proper data and database and apps and so forth. I'm intrigued by this past week, the release of the standards for cloud computing security, which basically said it must be FISMA compliant. And basically, the recommendations were very weak or very tepid relative to the capabilities of security that are to be specified, as we now are looking to save billions of dollars by moving from 454, one of the magic number of data centers consolidated down to just a few now as a result of the implementation of cloud computing. So we really haven't addressed the problem from a security and an import protection yet. Okay. And I think it's going to take some more rigorous designs and specifications to do that. We have to be pretty hard-nosed about it.
So we have changing attack patterns. We have roaming users. We have multiple platforms. These phones that people are carrying around, four or five different operating systems. And there's encryption. And then there's social attacks, social engineering attacks, where you may be authenticated and you may download malware accidentally. And so what solution does Blue Ridge Networks provide for this really rapidly changing, flexible environment?
Our whole strategy is to create an environment so the malware cannot be downloaded, okay? And we basically do that by creating an additional layer of protection. That layer of protection is a non-traditional layer of protection in the sense that we do create a unique, one-of-a-kind encrypted tunnel, okay? And our endpoint only knows, I like to describe it as having a monogamous relationship with one other IP address. So you do not go through a searching process. You do not go through a secret sharing process. And in turn, you can only connect with somebody that you have seen before or know before. So we created a secure tunnel, and then our transactions and our authentication can take place inside of that, some of the traditional methodologies. So we've isolated the endpoint. And we do some other things inside the actual terminal device, whether that's a portable device or a laptop or whatever that particular device might be. We create a virtual workspace, okay? And that workspace is isolated from what else may be contained on that device. Large trend to thin client computing so that you're not, you do not introduce what may be embedded in from previous transactions in your terminal device, but we create the stateless virtual capability operating through an encrypted tunnel, and therefore we've blocked or precluded in effect any kind of malware from coming in or out of the system.
Okay. And your product is called BorderGuard, and two kind of products within there is EdgeGuard and AppGuard. Is that right?
That's correct. Our products are derivatives of previous hardware incantations, and we basically have virtualized the capabilities over time, just like everybody else has. And so we use some proprietary and patented software to create this virtual workspace inside the terminal device, and then our network appliance, and that's called EdgeGuard, and our network appliance is called BorderGuard. That's the device that we put that basically will only recognize a transaction or a session from our EdgeGuard device.
Let me ask you a quick question here. Let's say I'm a federal IT professional and I want to block Skype. I mean, we heard a lot about Skype from the Microsoft conference in Los Angeles here this month in July, and Steve Ballmer was talking about Skype and unified messaging and all this and all that. It would be one approach might be to try to block Skype through the network. Another approach might be through one of your devices. It's your device will absolutely block anything like that without any question at all, no matter what they try to rename Skype, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You can. You're limited as you create this virtual workspace, and you basically go into your unique IP addresses. You can. That's the only place you can go. And then you're controlled once you get past the network appliance into the terminal server or the hosted applications as to what you can do. So it's very controlled, a very controlled environment.
So you really wouldn't have to worry about these fancy new acronyms like Security Information Event Management, SEIM, because you don't have to worry about a multiplicity of events because you're defining pretty carefully what endpoint's going to what endpoint.
That's correct. This is the original point of now, if we're going to be secure, we're going to have to enforce some discipline. And one way to do that is by doing it in an electronic, I think we coined the term last time, electronic stove piping.
And I think that's the challenge. I mean, you can have as many devices or as many software packages that can manage events as you want, but sooner or later, there are going to be more events than you can manage. I mean, you can be overwhelmed by event management. You have to change the modality, the approach, and the modality is to work within the network to establish secure endpoints.
Well, that's true. And if you look at sort of the general direction of the government, they are in the process, as a result of the networks contracts and some of the other contract vehicles that are out there now, of isolating the government networks and basically creating a limited number of entrance and exit points to those networks. So really closing down those networks from the point of view of exposure to the dirty internet.
The dirty internet. When we get back, we'll talk more about the dirty internet and how to protect yourself and the members of your agency. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jerry Edgerton, president of the Federal Group for Blue Ridge Networks.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
It appears that attacks by Iranian-backed militia on U.S. forces in Iraq are decreasing. A combination of diplomatic engagement and military operations are getting the credit. It was just a few weeks ago that Defense Secretary Leon Panetta warned that if the attacks didn't stop, the U.S. would take some action. Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen stopped into Iraq on an unannounced visit and said he's still in a wait-and-see mode as to whether the trend will be continued. I'm J.J. Green.
Sir, we have multiple contacts bearing 050 at 30 miles.
When the Navy and Coast Guard needed a radar to perform critical missions, they chose the TRS 3D radar from EADS North America. Built to cut through clutter in a busy coastal environment, the TRS 3D detects multiple surface and air threats simultaneously, so our nation's defenders can respond quickly and keep us safe.
Sir, estimated intercept time is 2 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Attention all military, active duty, retired, and all authorized family members. Your Quantico Marine Corps Base Commissary is on the road and bringing your hard-earned commissary benefit directly to you. This on-site sale will take place at Fort AP Hill, August 18th and 19th. Come out and experience savings that average more than 30% on all your groceries. For more information, visit commissaries.com. And remember, your commissary, it's worth the trip.
With vacation time just around the corner, Ackerman Security can help keep families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center and switch your existing system at no cost and that great $18.95 rate. And Ackerman is the only company with a guaranteed response time. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON.
Cloud computing. Your data and apps must move easily and securely to reach many clouds, not just one. That's why the network that connects, protects, and lets your data move fearlessly through the clouds means more than ever. See how. Cloud Advantage for Government. The Fed Cloud blog on federalnewsradio.com. Brought to you by Cisco and Intel.
Join host Jane Norris for Fed Central on Wednesday, August 3rd at 11:30 a.m. with her guests Kelly Meir and Roger Saratelli with Deloitte's Federal Technology Practice as they discuss the progress of the Federal Data Center Consolidation Initiative and the proven best practices they employ to help agencies optimize savings, improve their IT environment, and meet their mission objectives. Don't miss Deloitte's Fed Central program Wednesday, August 3rd at 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Profile America, Tuesday, August 2nd. The recent expensive and controversial Broadway show about Spider-Man has put the superhero back in the news. Actually, Spidey gets around pretty well for his age. It was this week in 1962 that Amazing Fantasy Comics appeared with the first story about teenager Peter Parker. Bitten by a radioactive spider, Parker finds he has superpowers and has to deal with the responsibilities that come with them. Spider-Man is one of the most commercially successful superheroes worldwide. Aside from Broadway, he has appeared on television and motion pictures while continuing in newspaper comic strips and comic books. Close to 40 new shows open on Broadway each year, drawing audiences of more than 12 million. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jerry Edgerton, president of the Federal Group for Blue Ridge Networks. Jerry's been involved in the world of communications security for a long time. Viewing the show, he said, I think he said he's a persistent threat. He's been around a while. I want to take this persistency and apply it to the world of security. There's something out there called an APT, and many of my listeners know what that is, and many don't know what an APT is. It stands for Advanced Persistent Threat. And this is one of the many concerns that I think everyone who turns on a computer or a smartphone should worry about. And Jerry, I'll let you run with this a little bit. Maybe you can put this in a framework, what exactly an APT is and how it is a threat to my listeners and what kind of options they have for securing your agency against APTs.
Well, APT, or Advanced Persistent Threat, is an evolving concept, too, but it's basically the continuing evolution of a variety of ways of attacking cyber infrastructure. And it comes about from the economic benefits of attacks, but also the attempts to obtain proprietary information, information and personal information for benefits and gains and so forth. So it's a continuing process, and it's ever evolving and it's ever more sophisticated. So and the current methodologies are, we attempt to identify the components of APT, and then we attempt to remediate those in some way by filtering or by antivirus scans or by anti-malware and so forth, and eliminating them out of the process. So, and so far, those methodologies have been of limited success, as evidenced by the news reports of the day, every day, of somebody having been hacked in some different and unique way.
What I think from a 10-15 year perspective was, you look at it, 15-20 years ago, people would come up with some kind of a silly virus and it would say "Go Redskins," and it was someone working out of their basement. An advanced persistent threat has got nothing to do with some silly college kid coming up with some software. It's an organization that studies and tries to find out everything it can about your agency, and then they'll spend years just trying to attack. And they'll have a very, very specific target that they want. So this isn't something you can shrug your shoulders over and, oh, APT, don't worry about it. You know, what's this thing that's attacking someplace in Iran? It's called Stuxnet. Is that what it is? That's an advanced persistent threat, because that is a specific targeted area and they're going after it. It's not giving up.
Well, the Stuxnet is a capability by which operating, so when we think of the cyber world today, we think of the internet, we think of the applications that are on the internet, and the cloud computing, and the commerce that's taking place, the access to all kinds of advanced data and so forth. The piece that's really not thought of are the myriads of operating systems that are out there, and these operating systems control machines, they control all kinds of devices that are essential to the world staying stable, as we I guess we say it's stable, but the stabilization of the world as we know it, the ability to control and measure power grids, to know when you've got a fault or detect it or take corrective action and so forth. And Stuxnet basically infiltrates those operating systems and causes them to act in irrational behavior. I've had these visions of these centrifuges wildly spinning out of control, and then to the point that they imploded or whatever. It would be a great James Bond scene to see this. You know, here comes this this threat, which apparently you can download from the internet in some way, and if you can figure out how to get it inside the operating systems and operating software, then you can cause malicious things to do. So think of the numbers and of whether it's a production line manufacturing cars, or whether it's a water treatment or processing plant, how many systems that are now software controlled that could be impacted by this kind of attack.
In a typical network, There's going to be monitoring. We know that. There may be something like an intrusion prevention system. There could be unidirectional gateways. So the networks may be controlled. And at the endpoint, there may be authentication, maybe two-factor authentication. So that's careful. Then you move that up a little bit. There may be a whitelist of applications that maybe induces security a little bit more. But still, even with secure authentication and whitelisting of applications, there still is an area there where an application may actually be represented to be one application, could be another, or could be an insecure application. And so at that level of security, you have to turn your system over to a product that, like AppGuard, that was going to say, okay, we know you're through, you're authenticated. We know we have a secure network, and we know you're on at least one list of good software, but you have to take it to the next level, even with all those precautions.
Yeah. The concept of our product called AppGuard is basically to prevent, as a result of creating this virtual workspace, to prevent any kind of execution of any malware. So you've isolated it, and this is all about dumbing down the network access device or terminal, whatever, to the point that you can protect it, so that, you know, we've made them really smart now. You know, minimum requirement on a PC now is 8 gigabits of RAM and all kinds of storage, terabytes of disk capacity and so forth. And a lot of that has to do with just the movement to different kinds of media, but also the things that you have to do in terms of just operating that system, in terms of protection and software and antivirus and scanning capabilities and so forth. So we're dumbing down those devices and then putting in what I like to call moats or protections, such that malware cannot execute inside of that. And then you limit completely what you can access in the out of the corporate or the government network or hosting facilities.
You work with a wide range of agencies in this capacity. I saw a press release with the Department of Justice just in the last month or so. Tell us about maybe the Department of Justice and some of the problems they had and how they resolved with – do they use AppGuard or do they use EdgeGuard? Which one do they use?
The Department of Justice uses our EdgeGuard capability, and the unique requirement that they have is to they have super sensitive databases, obviously, depending on whether they're involved in litigation or whether they're involved in criminal prosecutions or different kinds of activities. But the data that they have now may need to be required by a variety of users, not just the Department of Justice attorneys, but perhaps the law enforcement officials or outside counsel or, you know, defense counsel, whoever it may be. So now what you have is super sensitive data, and you want to restrict the access to that data to, you know, a known group of trusted users. And that's the capability we provide through the implementation of EdgeGuard and the isolation through our BorderGuard or network appliance. Then group of trusted users can have access to this highly sensitive information. And so that's been deployed over the U.S. Attorney's offices throughout the United States and has worked very effectively.
So just a different security problem, different tool to use to solve the problem, kind of like pulling out the 9/16 wrench instead of the half-inch wrench. So AppGuard would be one application in a virtual environment, and EdgeGuard would be more of a controlling network access.
That's correct. We isolate the sessions with AppGuard. We create the virtual workspace with the EdgeGuard capability.
So EdgeGuard must have originated through earlier versions, or I guess how'd they do this 4 or 5 years ago without EdgeGuard? I mean, what was the solution before EdgeGuard?
Well, I think I mentioned previously that our legacy comes from we had a hardware with firmware implementation on, and in effect, we built a series of extranets using our capability.
I get it.
And then in turn, we have converted that that firmware or so into a virtual version of this.
I get it now. That makes perfect sense. Kind of an evolution in responding to the new threats.
It's responding to the new threats, but also the technology evolution, too.
So. Everything has to change. That's right. When we get back, we'll talk more about computer security and find out about cost cutting and return on investment in the world of security, which I think a lot of our listeners may have some questions about. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Jerry Edgerton, president of the Federal Group for Blue Ridge Networks.
Attention all military, active duty, retired, and all authorized family members. Your Quantico Marine Corps Base Commissary is on the road and bringing your hard-earned commissary benefit directly to you. This on-site sale will take place at Fort AP Hill, August 18th and 19th. Come out and experience savings that average more than 30% on all your groceries. For more information, visit commissaries.com. And remember, your commissary, it's worth the trip.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
The challenge is to accomplish your mission even when you're under cyber attack. The cyber analysts at Kinetic North America, along with their proactive cyber solutions, can protect your critical information. With mission assurance solutions, insider threat identification, and advanced persistent threat detection, they have the technical and cyber capabilities to keep you ahead of threats. Learn more at kinetic-na.com/get-secure. That's kinetic-na.com/get-secure. When it's critical, it's Kinetic North America.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Stroke is this country's third most common cause of death. The blood clots that cause it might be attacked with a technique somewhat similar to one for treating kidney stones. Targeted waves of pressure are used to destroy kidney stones, and as you can clearly see when opening a soda bottle, pressure changes also form bubbles. So Andrew Seri, a mechanical engineer at the University of California in Berkeley, thinks the blood clots causing stroke might be cleared if
we send a strong, focused pressure wave through the skull to the place where blood clot is.
The resulting bubbles don't have to break the clot apart, but in combination with drugs,
it's about loosening up the network of the blood clot so that the drug can penetrate more easily.
And refinements might even make the process so effective that it can be drug-free. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. Ackerman offers the latest technology like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
You may have a big heart, but do you have a strong heart? Balanced nutrition and exercise with regular checkups help build a strong heart. A strong, healthy heart lets you share your big heart with those you love.
Hi, I'm Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Make healthy choices to maintain a strong heart. Eat lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and stay active by biking or walking 5 days a week.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Congratulations on landing the job. I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. How's your search going?
The job market's tight. I mean, I can barely get an interview. Yeah. And I've got student loans to deal with. You're lucky, you know. The National Guard paid your loans off.
Luck? The Guard was a smart decision, one you can still make.
The National Guard Student Loan Repayment Program can pay up to $50,000 of your existing student loans. Get the details at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the D.C. National Guard, aired by the Maryland, D.C., Delaware Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Wake up and drive in with Tom Temin and Amy Morris on the Federal Drive. It's your early line on the day ahead from your trusted advisors. Tom and Amy give you a full view of the issues. Find out what your colleagues in other agencies are up to and what policy and congressional developments mean to you. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. Weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Jerry Edgerton, president of the Federal Group for Blue Ridge Networks. If you want to have more information about security, you can go to blueridgenetworks.com. They have white papers there. They have a little slideshow. You can find out about their products. We talked a lot about the products. Talked a lot of serious stuff here about malware and advanced persistent threats. But I'll try to lighten up the conversation here, Jerry, and give you my patented nerd test. I'm giving you 10 questions and find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not.
Probably.
So here's the first question. Year of your first computer?
1988.
Ooh, that's not early, but it's kind of mid-range. Mm-hmm. Year of your first cell phone?
1988.
Now that's kind of early-ish. That's early-ish.
Yeah, bag phone, man. The Radio Shack.
The size
$2,200. I still remember.
Wow, the size of a Volkswagen, I'll bet, huh? Yeah. Operating system on your machine at home, your computer at home?
I'm PC-based.
Okay. Kind of connection at home, satellite connection, T1 line, any fancy connection, just standard?
I have satellite, I have broadband, I have cellular.
You got all, that's getting a lot of
DirecTV.
Points. DirecTV. You're getting a lot of points there. Kind of mobile phone you have?
Apple.
Okay, yeah. The smartphone.
iPhone.
Number of apps?
Wow. Probably 40, 50. We got to throw in the iPad, too, now.
Yeah. So, that's the next question. What kind of tablet device do you have?
iPad.
iPads.
Yeah.
You got apps on those as well. Last two, social networking sites you participate in?
Basically LinkedIn.
Okay. And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Actually paper.
Paper. Well, you get all mixed bag here. Yeah. You're not really a high score in the nerd scale.
But I do audiobooks. So they're on my iPhone. So.
On your iPhone. So you get some points. I'd say kind of a mid-range nerd. Not
mid-range
really a card-carrying nerd. The nerdometer scale would be maybe 7 or 8.
Oh, and I, up there. But I do have an Iridium phone, too. So that only
gets a couple points. But, you know, this paper thing. You know, I've had a guy in the studio who he said he got rid of all the paper books in his house and all the CDs. Everything's virtual. Everything's electronic. That's the only way they're going to roll.
So, if we got rid of all our books, I'd have to redecorate the house.
That's a challenge there. Let's get a little more serious here. We talked about security, and I think everyone listening knows that work for an agency, you're going to get your budget pulled back here, and at the same time, it's supposed to be more transparent and more secure. And in the business world that I live in, the commercial world, there's talk about ROI, return on investment. If you're going to spend $100,000 a project, you got to have an ROI within 18 months. You got to have some kind of a payback on a $500,000 project, $2 million project. How do you measure return on investment for products that Blue Ridge Networks offers? I mean, how do you measure that?
Well, I think there's a much broader question, and it has to do with how do you measure the value of providing secure services. And I think what we're seeing is some trends now that are going to force more secure capabilities, and there are some precedent-setting lawsuits out there as to who's got liability and so forth. There are obligations under Sarbanes-Oxley to certify under a criminal penalty that you have protected the assets of the corporation and so forth. So what you're beginning to see are some financial liabilities that are being created. Obligations that are going to force you to spend money and to think differently about security. Our value proposition has to do with you can simplify the install base of protective software. And the second aspect of that is then you can use personal equipment or non-government furnished equipment to access secure access, because we basically isolate anything on that computer that may contaminate or may cause a problem when accessing a hosted site.
When you just pick up the newspaper or go online and read, whatever your preference is, you see social networking's exploding. You know, Facebook's 750 million people, Twitter, Google+, all kinds of new threats here in that area there. Where do you see this whole idea of security and endpoint security and federal considerations going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, we basically are creating an environment where there are no barriers. Okay, it's a global problem. It basically everybody now can access anybody else's website. We talked earlier about sort of putting up a pseudo website or a pseudo Facebook page for somebody just for malicious purposes, and how do you prevent that? So I think that there will be the evolution of two worlds. There will be secure operating systems that you access through highly controlled means, and then there's going to be the free-flowing world of connections through the dirty internet. There will probably be some catastrophic aspects of this free-form world, but it'll become self-regulating after a while, because there'll be other methods and other methodologies and other differentiations for there'll probably be a secure Facebook before it's over with, in some ways to have controls.
Yeah, you talked about the multiplicity of operating systems, and if you just look at the mobile devices, we talked about mobile devices earlier, there's 4 or 5 mobile devices that all of a sudden my listeners have to worry about that they never even thought about worrying about 5 years ago. New operating systems, new threats, social networking. So you're probably optimistic as to the changes that will take place as far as security goes.
Oh, absolutely. I was listening to a former head of DNI the other day, and he predicted there will be some catastrophic event that will cause an overreaction by the government, that will cause overregulation and so forth in traditional fashions. But hopefully we won't get that far along in the process. But I think there will be some inflection points or events that cause us to really get serious about this and to implement some stringent rules and capabilities. I don't think the government can legislate its way to security. I think it has to be a process by which, due to economic need, due to the in actual investments and return on investments, because of the potential liabilities that that we'll get serious about it. We'll look at it differently. We will not stand on ceremony relative to the traditional methods of security. So.
And where will Blue Ridge position itself here?
We are positioning ourselves as to be a provider of 100% security, rather than let's do 90. If we stop 98% of the threats, then there's still 2% that could cause serious harm. So we're positioning ourselves to be, based on our legacy of coming out of highly secure environments, to be the 100% provider of security, that we basically add additional layers of protection. We allow you then some freedoms if you're operating in that environment. And so we're going to stay still tightly focused in that space.
We talked about multiplicity of operating systems on smartphones, but we mentioned earlier the fact that you have an iPad, and that's an operating system which is different from the Mac operating system on the desktop, of course, different from Windows. You know, I'm wondering if this security is going to be nothing to do with operating systems. Is it going to remove the concept of operating system, just focus on setting up these secure tunnels? Is that the safe approach?
Well, the iPad poses some unique problems in the sense that where Windows and Unix offer some open operating systems capability, as does Android, and therefore you have the ability to operate at a different level in the data structure. And so Apple and the iPad are unique in that sense. And Apple has really not opened up their operating system so that you can do some things that you can do in the other spaces. So we'll be interested to see how that evolves and takes off. Interesting statistic as of this week is 14% of the internet traffic is now iPad based.
So. Just like that overnight. Yeah. Talk about a dynamic threat.
Yeah. No one And yet the number of applications are still remarkable, 15 billion apps sold. So.
It's amazing. We've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We just had a long-ranging discussion on software security, mobile devices, and all kinds of different new products from Blue Ridge Networks. Thank you very much, Jerry Edgerton, president of the Federal Group at Blue Ridge Networks.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com.
Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.